great to be with you. Thank you so much. It's been a delight. Feels like a home away from home. This is our home in Canada. That's what it feels like. And it's just a joy to be with you guys. Thank you so much. Many years ago, I was in a prayer meeting, and we had a prophetic flow, and somebody said, this is what the Lord is doing, and somebody else said, that's amazing, because that's what the same thing the Lord told me, and then somebody else said, that's nothing, that's what the Lord told me, and we had these, and then we prayed a little, and then somebody else came up with the same word, and I was just, oh Lord, this is so cool, you're saying the same thing again and again, and the Lord said to me, do you need me to say it again? And I said, no, I think I got it. He said, good. Then we can move on. And then the word came up, and it was the next step. And I realized that the Lord is extremely patient with us, and He'll say stuff. But if you want to speed up the process, you can just take Him at His word first time, and you can take five steps instead of five prophecies on the same step. It's very exciting to be on the same step. You go, oh, we're supposed to be here. Look at this. And the Lord says, yeah, you want to move on? And I'm intrigued with this hovering word over your church. It's time to move on. This is kind of what the Lord is saying. There's growth. There's expansion. There's change. There's new hope. The Lord has been saying this in different ways all weekend, in many different languages. He's been demonstrating there's a new hope for you. I'm going to keep you. I'm going to make it. There's things. And so I just wanted, I didn't want us to miss, because in the beauty of everything else the Lord is doing, you can miss what He's repetitively saying. But I suspect that if as a church you go, okay, we got that, Lord. He goes, great. Let me tell you the next step. So, I mean.
Yeah, well, I want to just start with saying a very big thank you to Mark and Bridget for hosting us, for having us, inviting us, and also to the eldership. You guys are just an amazing team.
Amen.
And like we know, we've said before, we love Mark and Bridget. They're like family to us. And we have always had your this church in our hearts. You know, we minister in different places. You live in our hearts. We pray for you. We think about you. The Lord puts you on our hearts at different times. So first of all, thank you just for so generously hosting us. It's been really a privilege and an honor to be here. We don't take it lightly. You know, again, I just wanted to comment further on what Greg was saying. I really took note of that word that you had, Dom. And I was thinking about, a chicken in an egg. It's a time of incubation. And it's a time of growth that happens. It's not a passive time. There's a lot of growth. There's a lot of strengthening to stand. And so I was thinking, well, Lord, if the church is, you know, if the egg is starting to crack, that means they're coming out of a time of incubation, a time where the Lord's brought healing, a time where the Lord's strengthening you guys in the spirit. It's a time that you haven't been seen because you've been in the eggshell. But there's been a lot of activity going on in that. And then I just went back to some of the parts of a word that I shared with you on Wednesday night. And the Lord said He's removing restraint. The shell restrains for a time period that is necessary. And He's removing boxes and boundaries. And the shell is a boundary, but a necessary one for protection for a time. So if the Lord's removing that protection, there's a reason. Why? You know, when the chick breaks out the shell, it is seen. But there's a window of opportunity to take hold of that. And I realized, you know, God is so faithful. He's faithfully letting you know ahead of time. He's saying, this is what I'm doing, so that we are people who understand the times. And, you know, the exciting thing, the Lord clearly is speaking about a shift or a change of gears. And obviously, as an eldership team, you take that before the Lord and execute as you see fit as a team. But I just thought, what an exciting time for you guys to be part of the bridge at this season. You know, and for such a time as this, God has called you here because you have something to add, to bring, to walk in this new place.
Is this on? still not on. Sorry, okay. Great. Part of Bob Mumford many years ago spoke about the that period of time between when you were a little boy and you wear short pants and then you need to go into the boardroom, you have to take your short pants off, put your big boy pants on. And there's this awkward period between the time when you've taken your short pants off and you still haven't put your long pants on and you're just standing there in your underwear. And let's put it another way. There's probably a better analogy. If you're in one room of the house and you want to go into another room of the house, you have to get into the hallway, the passageway, and before you get into the next room. And while you're in the passageway, you haven't yet got into the new room and you've left the old room. And there's not a lot of windows in the passageway. And it's not as nice, there's not enough space in the passageway. But you're in the passageway. You're in the hallway. And when the Lord calls you out of one place into another place, you inevitably find yourself in this hallway passage. And you guys are in the passage. In fact, you guys are like at the end of the 3 hours in the passage. There's not much time left in the passageway, in the hallway. But being in the hallway can feel a little uncomfortable because you have this challenge of, I used to know when I was in that other room, which was small, but at least it was comfortable. At least I knew what I was supposed to do in that room. That was familiar, that was comfortable, and we've been doing that for 20 years, and, you know, it was good enough for my grandfather, good enough for my father, it's good enough for me. But no, there's always progression in the Lord. He wants to take you into a new place, and when He calls you out of somewhere and He calls you to something, there's inevitably this hallway period of time where you feel a little inconspicuous. I'm not sure what I'm supposed to be doing. I haven't reached there yet, but I've left where I used to be. Does that make sense to anybody? Exactly, because this is exactly where you guys are as a church. You're in the passageway of God's calling. And sometimes that feels a little awkward. And people are going, well, where do I fit in now? I used to know where I fit in the old room. Well, there's a brand new calling. There's a new opportunity. And the new room is much bigger than the old room. And there's much more opportunity. There's much more space. And some people don't like space. Don't give me wide open spaces. Tell me what to do. So, we have this message this morning we wanted, and it may seem completely incongruous to some people, but it's a message really that speaks into what do you do when you're in the passageway. So we're going to give you some intensely practical things that we think would help. So I'm going to let you into a little secret. Michelle and I have this secret fantasy that we would be able to one day go and be in a church that nobody knew us. And nobody knew we were pastors. And I could just go in as the sales manager and she could go in as an educator and we could just sit in the back. And nobody knows. And then we've had this debate about what we would do in a church if nobody knew that we were in ministry for 35 years. How would we be? What kind of members would we be? Because the bottom line is that the Bible says in Hebrews 13, verse 17, it says, have confidence in your leaders and submit to their authority because they keep watch over you as people who must give an account. Do this so that their work will be a joy and not a burden. Because that would be of no benefit to you. It's amazing to me how some people in our church think that if it's their job, their God-given mandate to balance us. And so if I say it's left, they say it's not actually left. It's a little slight right of left. It's like they feel like that's their call. So their job is to make our job miserable. It's like they feel like they're called by God to constantly temper us. You don't think you're something. Like, I never did think I was something. Well, I'm just checking. I want to take the scripture and embroider it and give it to them as a gift, you know. Bible says, submit yourself to a leadership team in such a way that you cause their job to be a joy. Because if you don't, it's no benefit to you. Be obedient to those leading you, is the Young's literal translation. So that with joy they may do what they do, and not with sighing. For this is unprofitable to you. So we want to talk a little bit about being joy bringers, and burden removers. So much talk in the church nowadays about how to be a great leader. Very little talk about how to be a good follower. So if I can just talk to you just a little bit for a group of people who God has called out into the passageway, into the hallway of the calling, and you're about to step into a new thing. And it's much larger. It's a much larger inheritance. You think there's a lot of new people now. You ain't seen nothing yet. Wait until God turns up the volume. Wait until the place starts flooding with people. See, when God gives you another couple of thousand people, then everybody in this room is going to have to change gears. You're going to have to find another gear and step up and start ministering. Right? In every church, there are two types of people. There's people who help pull the cart, and there's people who sit on the cart. There's only two types of people. You're either helping drag the cart, or you're causing drag on the cart. Make sense? Only one or two types of people. Now, I understand that there are times when people are hurt and wounded and exhausted, and they've been pulling the cart for 15 years, and they come in the back of our church, and they just go, can I just lie here? I go, absolutely. There's never going to be a time when you have 100% of the people pulling the cart and no one on the cart. That's just not realistic. Part of what church is there for is to bring health and rest and restoration to people who were hurt or wounded or broken. So I get that. There's always going to be somebody on the cart. My question is, after 10 years, are you still sitting on the cart? Because there are some people who are always pulling the cart. And imagine if we got a better percentage of people pulling. Imagine if we've got 75% of people pulling and 25% sitting. Imagine where you could go with that cart. You can go anywhere. But if you have 1% pulling and 99% sitting, you can only go on the flat or maybe on a slight slope. You can't go on a steep slope. The only way somebody sitting on the cart helps is when you're going downhill. If you want to progress, you need more people pulling than sitting. Right? This is not deep. This is common sense. Right? I'm not like, we haven't started preaching yet. We're just telling you the truth, right? So one of the things that if we were to arrive, Michelle and I were to arrive at a church, this is our little fantasy. We arrive at the church, nobody knows us. Go, what do you do? I'm a sales manager. What do you do? She's an educator. Okay, great. We're just going to sit at the back and that's fine. Okay, welcome back. But if we're going to obey Hebrews 13:17, to be people who bring joy and remove burdens, as members, not as leaders, as members, because this is what the Bible says. You can serve, you can follow in such a way that you make the leader's job a joy and you remove burdens from them. So let's talk about being joy bringers and burden removers. You know what we would do? First thing that we would do is we'd start loving people. For those of you who are parents and you know your kids, you know, one of your kids is just kind and nice and gracious to one of the other kids, how nice is that for you? Thank you. Shared with their brother or sister, or helped them up when they got hurt, or comforted them, or sort of said, hey, come with us. How nice is it for you as a parent when one of your kids is loving towards one of the other kids? How horrible is it when one of your kids keeps slapping the other kid, or stealing their stuff, or picking a fight with them, and you have to walk into the room every 3 minutes because mom is picking on me. As a leader in a church, when people come in and they throw their weight into love, they love people. You look up and they have people around to them. They connecting and they're loving people and they're being gentle and gracious. You go, man, I'm glad you came. So if we were to go to a church, walk in the back, one of the first things we do is just be kind and nice and loving to people. To help build the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. To just love people. Because you know what? Love covers a multitude of errors. I don't want to be the guy who goes, oh, pastor, did you see, point out weaknesses.
We had those friends of ours who were with us in South Africa then in Atlanta and came onto leadership in our church because we knew them well. And then his job transferred him to another state. And they are people who love the church, love the kingdom. And they said, the first thing we're going to do is find a church where we can bring our strength and we can connect. And they visited a number of churches. And I remember phoning her one day and said, so have you found a church? Are you? And she said, you know, we are really struggling to find a place. And this went on for weeks. And she said, the weird thing is we go into places and nobody talks to us. And, you know, they smile and we go to the information desk and then they'll talk to us. And they were two of our top greeters. They just, everybody loved them. They still talk about them at our church at Northlands because they just hug people and they love people. They have people in their homes. And for them, it was just a strange thing to be the couple that were now trying to find a church. And eventually they did find one. And I said, well, what made the difference? Why did you decide to go back again? And she said, because they greeted us at the door. And then another couple said, hey, do you want to join us for lunch? And just that noticing them and bringing them in on the first day made all the difference to them connecting. And let me tell you, some of you do that really well here. Yeah. So thank you for that. But it's a big deal when somebody comes in. And you guys know that if you've been, you know, first timer at a church, I think some of you, I know some of you are here because that's what you experienced when you walked into the bridge.
So you want to make their job a joy? Love people around you. Be the source of comfort, not pain. Be the one who helps people, not causes, Mom, picking on me. We would be, secondly, active followers. We would deliberately make a decision. God didn't appoint us to lead here, so we're going to be good followers. So what that means is, we would take time to discover the vision and get behind it. It's one of the most amazing things to me. People come into our church for the first time. And they don't even get the history. They don't get what we're about. They sit through half the service, then they come to me and go, you know what? Let me explain to you. I can show you. I go, I had a lady come recently. She came up and I hadn't even got through one service. And she's now explaining to me how we should change the church and what we should do. I said to her, ma'am, I think this is not going to be a good church for you. Just straight. Because I'm just, life's too short to dance with ugly women. You know, I'm just like, I'm like, I said to her, ma'am, this is not going to be a good church for you. Really isn't. She goes, what do you mean? I said, because I just don't think it's a good fit. Because I thought I'll just save us 6 months of this woman whining. Because if she couldn't get through one service without coming to point out to me what I was doing wrong with the church, then honestly, she's not going to be a blessing. She's already making my job a pain and she doesn't even know me. Does it make sense? If Michelle and I came in the back of the church, we would just sit just for a minute and say, let's just find out what this is about. In Proverbs 18:13, and the message says, if you answer before listening, that's both stupid and rude. Just listen a bit. So, if Michelle and I came in the back of this church and nobody knew us, we'd sit there a bit and we'd just go say, what's the vision here? What are you guys doing? Where are you trying to go? Because if I don't know where you're trying to go, I can't support it. If I come in and I go, you know what you guys really need? You guys really need. I've got a Bible study. Let me tell you. I'll just, you come. You go, you don't even know if we do that already. Just sit down. Follow. Listen. Listen.
So I want to talk a little bit about arriving enthused. And I have a few things I just wanted to share with you. What has been helpful for me, and I think we would, you know, because it's been helpful to us from other people, I think it's something that we would try and be if we were going to be active followers and new followers in a church. But the first one is to feed yourself and lead yourself. I think one of the most difficult person to lead is often ourselves. We have great ideas for other people, but leading our own lives, getting things in place can sometimes be harder than it sounds. But I've realized before I can feed other people, I have to feed myself. And it's very helpful as when followers arrive full. And because then we will be people that give from our overflow. I will quickly have a word for somebody. I'll have a word of encouragement. I will be able to pour out because I've been poured into. And, you know, many times I find I'll read a scripture in the morning, and then somewhere during that day or that week, it's been the very thing I've needed to pray over somebody else, to share with somebody else. And, you know, when we arrive full, it's easy to give out because we have an overflow. But, you know, when we neglect our relationship with the Lord, I mean, He never moves away. He doesn't go far away from us. But when we don't have that vital communion with the Lord, we don't have a lot to give. And so we come expecting, we're needing other people to give. And there are times when we should be receiving from one another. But if we stay in that place, we can easily hit burnout and people become irritating to us. I don't want to talk to you. Or why are you not noticing me? Please notice me, because I'm depending on you to feed me when the Lord's supposed to be the one who does that. You know, it's amazing how Jesus withdrew often to hear the voice of his Father. I think he also withdrew often to be filled up because he was giving out a lot. And his ministry was incredibly fruitful because he was constantly giving from an overflow. I'm sure some of you are familiar with Heidi Baker, but she has a saying. She says, all fruitfulness flows from intimacy. And there's such a blessing when active followers have their own intimate walk with the Lord, because those are the people that will be overflowing fruitfulness onto the lives of others. In Psalm 1, it talks about trees planted by the river that produce fruit. And, you know, a tree doesn't strive to produce fruit. It just does because it's planted by the river. And so I think one thing that's helpful as an act to follow is to be well planted so that you come to overflow. And then be a worshiper. Make worship a part of your life. We've had some awesome worship here. And I love that you're writing some of your own songs. Very cool. The Lord, you have a sound. And we've enjoyed that. It's been wonderful. But it's not just dependent on this worship team to lead us in worship. We want to be worshipers at home. Be worshipers in your car. Make worship a lifestyle. Because when we're worshipers, we will also overflow. It will change our perspective. You know, it's easy for us to slip into negative perspectives. I know for me personally, you know, if I could give you a tool to change perspective, it would be worship. We can get so bogged down in our stuff, and some of our stuff is real and hard, but there's something about connecting with the Lord in worship that changes your perspective. And if I can come in on a Sunday or come into your community groups or home groups with a perspective of the Lord, I will be a follower that is active and helpful in the life of the church. And then take a servant's towel. Arrive enthusiastic to serve. Arrive being expectant to serve. And again, you guys do that so well here. We have been so well looked after. But I think when we arrive with the mindset of how can I help, we add to what God is doing in the body that we find ourselves in. A couple of years ago, we were running a conference and we had two separate people. They were both fairly new in the church. And one of the ladies walked in. We had our hospitality team getting things ready in the kitchen. And she walked in and she said, so where's the coffee? I was like, okay, it's coming. It's almost ready. And then she walked out. And a few minutes later, another woman walked in and she said, is there anything I can do to help you in the kitchen? Totally different perspectives. The one was, serve me. The other one came, how can I help? How can I serve? One was discouraging. The other was, it was so encouraging to have this new person come in and say, how can I help? So come with a servant's towel. And then if I can just talk for a minute to leaders. I know this is a little bit off the track, but I just asked Greg if I could share this because I think it's helpful. You know, because if you're coming in new, there will be a time when you might well be in a leadership position. Yeah. Either elder, deacon, leading a community group, on the worship team, wherever the Lord chooses to put you, whichever seat you are, but come with an attitude to influence people, towards the vision of the church. That's why it's so helpful when people that are part of a body come and understand the vision. Read about it. Ask the leaders about it. Where are you going? What is the Lord saying? Because we have a power, especially when you're in a leadership seat. When you are in a place of influence, you have an opportunity to influence people towards the vision and not to pull against it. So I just wanted to put that out there. And then, you know, we have a wonderful opportunity to take what God has given us and cause an excitement to the people around us. And, you know, if you have any position of leadership, whatever you say is magnified. Whatever you do is magnified. So magnify what the Lord is doing. And then I just wanted to talk, these are just some real practical things about body language. You know, I don't think we realize how much our body language affects those people around us. And
wait, let me change mine quickly. Okay.
Change quickly? Carry quickly? On. You've got 30 seconds to change? No. But this is something that I had to learn personally because I wasn't naturally, I love people, but I was told one day, you're very, what was the word they used?
Aloof.
You're very aloof. And I went home and had a good cry because I thought, that is not my heart. But my body language, I always had my arms folded because it was comfortable. But my body language was not helpful. And I've had to learn to look people in the eye. And sometimes Greg said, you're not looking people in the eye. But I feel like I'm connecting. But my body language wasn't always helpful. And so I'm still working on that. But, you know, I think if we're in a meeting and we're sitting with our arms folded and we're leaning back and we're not engaged, that can affect the whole dynamic of a meeting. And I want to encourage you, if you're going to be active followers that are helpful, there's times where you just have to put what's all about me aside and make a decision to be actively engaged. Lean forward, ask questions, smile, be engaged for the sake of the bride. It's very helpful. And sometimes we all have to just make a decision to do that. You know, we've been in meetings where one person's negative body language is basically just throw in the whole meeting. And then you come into another meeting and people are leaning forward and they're engaged and they're excited to be there. And that's a decision that we can make. It's not always about how we feel. There are times we've said, I'm having a hard time. But for the sake of the others around me, I'm going to make a decision to be engaged. So I want to just encourage you in that.
Acts chapter 2 says about the early church, they devoted themselves to the apostles' doctrine, to fellowship, to the breaking of bread, and to meeting together. They devoted themselves. Not the apostles devoted them. They devoted themselves. You know what Michelle was saying is that if you come in enthused, we get our word enthused from two Greek words, entheos, in God. Come in God. Come full. Come with something to bring. When you come in enthused, and everybody in the meeting, or 75%, are enthused, you have an enthusiastic meeting. People go, wow, that was a good meeting. Go, yeah. Because if you don't come enthused, and the only person who's enthused is the person up here, you got a lot of work to do. Right? Because then you get people sitting at the back there, well, I dare you to bless me. See what you can do, preacher man. Well, I think I'll give that sermon a 5. That wasn't that good. Right? And so there's the issue. And so what we're talking about is if Michelle and I were sitting in the back, we would be like, amen. You have no idea how much a happy face when you're preaching. You go, praise God, I just want to preach to that person. Because the rest of you got some people sitting there going, right? And the person who's sitting there, they may just be frowning because you've got a weird accent, but you don't know that. You think they're picking on you. And so there's the point, you know, just be aware. If, because we're talking to people, you go like, you say, Greg, how can we help? Well, come enthused. Come full. Well, I'm just waiting for the Lord to give me a word. Why don't you give a word? Sow what you want to reap. Right?
You know, how we encourage and how we engage has power to affect everybody around us. And so I think we can come in and decide how do I want to affect the people around me, the people that are sitting around me today. How do I want to affect them? And we can make decisions about how that works. You know, sometimes if we're if we're leading a meeting, if you're task-oriented, it's so easy to just jump in with everything that needs to be done. But just to step back and notice the people around you and encourage the people that come in, and just to lead into that, I'll talk a little bit about greetings and goodbyes. And I read this in one of Bill Hybels' books, The Power of Greetings and Goodbyes. And he was riding in a taxi somewhere with another person in leadership, and he said, so what is the most important time of the meeting? What would you say is the most important time of when we get together? And this guy said to him, greetings and goodbyes. And he was like, well, what about the agenda? What about all the things that we have to accomplish and the goals? And he said, the greetings and goodbyes make all the difference. And again, I'm just going to commend Mark and Bridget for that. You guys do an awesome job with that. Your greetings and goodbyes. Yeah. People always feel welcomed by you. And I think when they leave, they feel loved by you. You notice people extremely well.
Yeah.
But it's a big deal, you know. And I think if, as active followers, we can pay attention to that. We can be the people that step up and greet people as they come in. And we can be the people that say, it was so good to have you here this morning. So glad you came. We can take responsibility for that as members or visitors, or just, you know, we don't have to be officially a member of a place to do that. And again, many of you do that extremely well. I have felt so welcomed here. Thank you.
Very cool.
The greetings and goodbyes here are really good.
But I just want to jump in there, you know, because when God's going to start bringing some guests to you, and you go, well, I'm sure somebody, one of the leaders is going to be nice to them. I'm sure one of the leaders will go and greet them. No, don't wait for the leaders. If you're going to be an active follower, walk up to people. Go, hey, it's good to have you in our church. You know what happened to us? We had people come to our church. I never met them. But three of our ordinary members met them, took them out to lunch. I met them. They were in one of the groups. They're going to one of the groups. They were help serving. I go, like, who? They're serving one of our, I'm like, who are those people? They go, oh, no, don't you know them? I go, no. Praise God. Praise God. Very cool.
Recently, I spoke to a friend of mine, and this was just interesting. You know, it's interesting getting other people's perspectives, but she they've been going to leaders' meetings for a while. They're leaders in the church. And they said, she was kind of discouraged because she said, we've been faithfully serving for years and years. But she said, you know, even if the meetings weren't that good, we would go. If they just noticed us, if someone just asked us about how our group was going, and she said, we really want to get behind the vision. We love the vision of the church, but we just don't feel like we're seen. And so do we keep doing this? What do we do? And that just, you know, as a leader, that spoke to me, and I thought, I want to make sure
it wasn't our church.
No.
Thank you. I was starting to worry.
It was in another
country. I was thinking through who that was, but I...
But I took note of that, you know, and I thought, I just want to make sure that I always connect with the people, not just what they're doing, but with who they are. And again, I think that is a strength you have here, because that is how your leaders love you and notice you. But if you are in any leadership position, I'm going back to the leadership thing, just make sure you pay attention to the people on your team, not just that they're doing the right thing, that they're participating, that they're arriving on time, but how are you doing? You know, with what you're doing, how's that working out for you? Because people want to be seen. We all do. We all want to feel like people connect with us. So those are just some real practical things that I think have been helpful to us. And we would, you know, hopefully we would be that if we arrived as active followers.
If you do a study on all the one another's in Scripture in the New Testament, you know, love one another, bear with one another, be patient with one another, be kind to one another, forgive one another. There's a whole bunch of them in the New Testament. If the largest list obviously is love one another, the second longest list is greet one another with holy intent. Isn't that interesting? It's the second most love one another in the New Testament. Greet one another with godly intent, with a holy kiss. Right? So there's, when you greet one another with holy intent, that's a holy thing to God. And as Michelle was saying, this greeting and saying goodbye to people is a big deal for them. But it doesn't say leaders greet. Just greet one another. One another. Love one another. And that's the beautiful thing. Second thing we were trying to be is be helpful. We'd deliberately, firstly, decide to follow. Second thing, we'd like to be helpful. And that means we are translators. Any leader will get up and say, there's the vision. And then about half the people are going to go, yeah, that's great. And half the people go, that's weird. What did he mean? Some years ago, we had a youth group, and just the mix of personalities, the leaders, the young people who were the strongest, had the strongest force of person, were on fire for God. And a whole generation of young people grew up in our churches on fire for God. And they went off to college, and they got married, and they married godly people, and they're serving God still in the church. And two, 3 years after them, another group came up. But the guy who has the most forceful personality was a little bit snarky and cynical. And so he was there, but same teachings. But behind the scenes, he'd be a little snarky. And that whole generation of young people, not on fire for God. A lot of them got into drugs, they're in mess, they dropped out of college, not doing well. A whole group of them, all in the same age group. You know what I learned? Same input, same leaders, same thing. One guy with influence sitting in the chair, but being snarky, pulling in the wrong way, throws a whole meeting off. Don't be that guy. And if you are cynical, and if you are like, I dare you to bless me, nobody's going to move me kind of person, be quiet. That's what the scripture says. If you harbor selfish ambition or vain conceit, do not boast about it. It's an interesting scripture. If that's in your heart, zip it. Keep it to yourself. But we need translators in the church. I cannot tell you the power of a well-timed amen. Somebody in the second chair who goes, I go, hey, let's all go left. And there's this moment of silence where the church is trying to decide, is that a good idea or not? And somebody out there goes, oh, amen. The decision on the group is made from the second chair. Be that guy or that girl. Be that person who translates vision to people who don't yet understand. Who quiets people who are cynical. Oh, I don't know. Let's not do that. I know this is not the most dazzling sermon, but I'm telling you it's one of the most helpful. If you listen, it'll change the church. If you want to be helpful, show initiative. Other day, somebody comes to me. Now I'm about to walk up and minister, right? I got 400 things in my mind. There's stuff going on. Did you know that one of the light bulbs is out in the ladies' restroom? I was like, how would I know that? Like, no, I didn't. And I'm not ashamed of that. I didn't. Yeah, no. But she's like all snarky, like it's my fault. Cause she's now found something that she can point out to me. Cause she didn't want me to get a big head. You know, you're in your church. There's light bulbs out. Do you understand what's in her heart? I'm about to go minister. I'm going like, no, sweetie, I didn't. And even if I did, I wouldn't be the one to fix it. Why are you telling me? Some people feel like it's their job to catch you in, you said it was the 27th and it's actually the 26th. Thank you for pointing that out. Could have done it with less bite. Could have done it with less hatred in your heart. I would have appreciated just a little bit more style, but you know, thank you. Show initiative. If you see the light bulb is out, let's take it as God's whisper to you to fix the problem. We were listening to Horst Schultz from Ritz-Carlton. And he was talking about how they inculcate values into all their employees. And so they have 27 values. And they have a different value they read every day. And he said, well, for instance, the value today is own the problem. And so somebody said, well, how do you inculcate that value? He said, well, what we do, he says, we empower our bellhops people who carry your case from the car into your room. We empower them that they are allowed to spend up to $2,000 a day to fix a problem. So if the bellhop comes down and in the elevator he hears you go, our TV in our room is broken, he goes, oh, please go and have breakfast on me, I'm paying. When you get back up to your room, your TV will be fixed. So I'm so sorry. Right? Do you think that bellhop is just sitting there waiting for something to do? He's looking for problems to have. But if you don't feel empowered to fix problems, then you're going to go, see, TV's broken. Mark and Bridget, TV's broken. So what we're saying is show initiative. Do for them, for your leadership team, what you do well, so that you free them up to do what they are called to do. Do what you do well, so that they can do what only they can do. See, I'm one of 350 people in our church that can change a light bulb. But I'm the only one who can get up and minister what I believe the Lord has told me to minister in that service. So if somebody else can get the light bulb, I can get up to teach and preach. If they don't show their initiative, then I got to sit there and fiddle with light bulbs when I should be preparing to minister. Does that make sense to anybody? You say, well, Greg, this doesn't matter that much. It matters everything. Show initiative. I guarantee you, there are some people sitting in this room and you see a need in the church and you're sitting there wondering, why? Is Mark and Bridget not taking care of that? Because they're not supposed to.
I think it's an attitude of being an active follower that comes as a filter. You know, I'm going to come this morning to be a filter for them. And then you probably will be one of those that do notice things, but the attitude can be, I'm going to be a filter for them. It's recently we got one of those wonderful letters that sometimes you get about all the things you're not doing right. And one of our administrative ladies in the office, we walked together, and she said, about a week later, we got this letter about, basically, they didn't like the theology we were preaching, they'd visited once. And she said, we got this letter. I said, but you never gave it to me. She said, no, you didn't need to see it. And I was actually really grateful for it. It wasn't helpful, because we believe in the theology that we're preaching. We like it. We see it's life transforming. I wasn't going to change it for one letter, but the letter could have been really discouraging. And she just said, no, you don't need to see it. She was a filter for us there. And so I think we can be filters for our leadership.
Amen. Are you still okay? Can we keep, we've got a few more minutes. We'll talk some more. Not everything needs to be shared at every moment. So when somebody's about to step up and lead worship or about to step up and lead preach, I've got this thing. I need to puke on you because then I'll feel better and then you can walk away with. So a lot of people seem to feel like just before I'm about to walk up and preach, that's the moment that they want to share with me their heaviness. And it's, not everything needs to be shared at every moment. As Michelle was saying, sometimes you go, you know what? This is probably not the moment. There is a moment. It's probably not now. And if you want to be helpful to the leadership team, choose your moments. If you want to be helpful to us, choose your moments. Sometimes when I... in the height of it, then I'm really ticked and I want to go, now they're going to get a piece of my mind. And this gracious wife of mine puts her hand on my leg like this. I know that's the sign of just breathe. Because tomorrow is probably going to be a better time to have this discussion. Because right now, I'm going to sever heads, you know. It's going to be tomorrow, I'm going to go, you know, perhaps we can have a discussion. Um, You know, there's Ecclesiastes says, don't listen at the doorway when your servants talk. Because you're going to hear stuff you don't need to hear. Isn't that interesting? When your servants are talking about it, don't go stand there and look. What are they saying? Because it says, you yourself have done that. How many of you, when you're having a real conversation with your husband or wife, and then you realize your phone has been dialed somewhere, and then you go, oh! I hope that wasn't them. Right? Because we all do it. Sometimes as leaders, look, anytime you step into any leadership role, people are going to say stuff behind your back about you. Well, I didn't think that. I think that was a stupid, that was a horrible sermon. That was a waste of, I don't know what Sunday was all about. That we just, sometimes people in our church feel like it's their responsibility when they overhear that to come and tell us. I go, no, no, shh, shh. I'm not supposed to listen at the door. Please don't listen for me and then come share it. Some things you just better if you don't hear them. Because you know what? Those people, they don't really mean it. They're not mad with you. They're just mean people. Because we've all done it.
Just something else that I think helpful as an act to follow, something real practical, is to honor time. And this is a church-wide issue. This is not unique to anybody, but yeah, I think especially in line with what the Lord's saying to you guys as a church, there's clearly, there's growth, there's a change of season, there's an upgrade. So if you are an active follower here, one of the things that's just helpful is to arrive on time, you know, preferably arrive early.
Yeah.
Because we're wanting to, you know, when visitors come in, the worst thing is, well, certainly what we've seen at different times is sometimes we'll have visitors come in, and it's the visitors that come on time, and then the rest of the congregation drift in with coffee 15 minutes into the worship, and that's just not helpful. So I want, you know, it just as an encouragement, if you can try and honor the time that's been set for meetings or community groups or practices to start, honor the leader's time by being there preferably early. Hey, is there anything I can do to help? Rather than coming in late. You know, it always amazes me that we can get to an airport to catch a plane early, but we somehow struggle to get to church early. And, you know, it's like, I know that's hard because sometimes I find myself caught up in conversation just before the service is supposed to start. And now I've had to say to people, you know, I'd love to continue this afterwards, but I need to get there because it wasn't helpful if I'm coming in 10 minutes late. So I just, you know, just as an encouragement, just maybe something that might be helpful is make an effort to be on time because you play a vital role in this community in setting an example for other people. So come a little bit early so that you're here to greet the other people that are going to be joining you.
Years ago, Graham Cook told a story. He said, I was in a church and I was prophesying and the Lord called the associate pastor, and Graham said the guy was sitting there, and as he was looking at the guy, he saw this guy take out a serrated knife, which was a long blade, and he began to stab the back of the pastor, but brutally. And he said he was so shocked by this, and the Lord said, this is what this guy's doing. And the Lord said, prophesy. So he called the guy up. So he said, Lord, what are you saying? And the Lord told him, and so he said, can I get the senior pastor here? And he had this guy. And he said, I want you to stand back to back. And he got two broom handles. He said, we need, and he said, now you guys hold swords. And he said, this is the word of the Lord to you. He said to this guy, you're called to have the back of this man. Because the enemy has an assignment against him. But God has called you two in unity to impact this whole area. And when you stand like this, many churches are going to connect to this church. He says, while he's prophesying, this guy starts to weep. And a couple of hours later, he bumps into this guy in the hallway. And the Lord says, you can tell him what I showed you. And he tells him. And this guy just breaks down and weeps. And he goes, why didn't you say that? He said, because that wasn't the word of the Lord to you. That was what was going on. That wasn't the word of the Lord to you. The word of the Lord to you was what I said. Sometimes we can look up and see things. And then we want to proclaim that as though that's the reality. No, that's not the reality. It has nothing to do with the word of the Lord. The question is, Lord, what are you saying? And then it's our job to say what the Lord is saying, not what you can see. Amen? Because just think with me through this. What Graham Cook could have done, if he wanted to look good, he could have said, "This is the Lord shows me you've been stabbing this man in the back, you ugly thing." And he could have rebuked him, and the fear of God would have hit the place. And this guy would have been weeping, and the senior guy would have been like, "Yes." And then they would have probably fired that guy. He would not have found another job anywhere because nobody wants to touch that guy. Everybody would have been, "Graham, oh, was a prophet of God." Right? Question is, do you want to look good? Did you do, or do you want to do kingdom work? Kingdom work is about what the Lord is saying. It's about, not about you being seen. It's about, this is now 20 years later, that church still has multiple, those two guys still minister together, multiple churches connected to them. There are some things, this is not a prophecy, this is just common sense. There are some things that you are going to see in this church that are lacking. And that is God's wake-up call to you to say, why don't you make an effort to fix that? We're worshiping. I do not see spilling mistake. We're singing, I'm on the whining side. And I'm on the winning side. She's on the whining side because Michelle looks at it and she sees the spilling mistake. Jesus is my closet friend.
These are real. We've had these.
I'm lost in worship. She's giggling. She's going like, what's going on? Who do you think we should put in charge of what comes up on the screen? Me? Or her? Or somebody like her? I've gone through the whole worship. Don't see a single spelling mistake. The first, like at 1 second in, she's giggling. Now, what now? She has to point it out to me. Some of you are sitting there in your natural gifting and you see it. The second it comes up, it's there, boom, in front of you. And you're going, why are these people not getting to it? It's not their thing. It's your thing. I think we've said enough.
I know we're going to close, but I just think it's fascinating that the Lord had many of you receive prophetic ministry last night in the time when God's bringing a transition in the church. And I wouldn't be surprised if a lot of the things that were spoken have to do with what is your season and what God has for you to bring in this time of transition and in this new season God's bringing you into. I think that most of the church had prophetic ministry last night, and you guys are here at this time when God is bringing you into a new place, is not coincidence. And I would encourage you to go back again to those words from the Lord and say, how do those words translate into the place that you have for me as an active follower in this season at the Bridge? I think the Lord's going to be lining up a whole lot of things for you.
We want to close with this. It would not surprise me at all that there are many people who are going to be called into a new place of leadership in this church in the days to come. You're in the hallway, you're about to step into a new role, but many people. We've just looked around and been amazed at how many pillars there are in this church, how many people are called to be pillars. And that, there is a time when you're in Adullam's cave and all the D's come, the diseased and the debtors and the doubters and the, you know, it's just tough having D's. And then David moved on from there and he went to Ziklag. And the Bible says at Ziklag, the Lord brought him commanders with their people in rank. It's a very different place when you move from Adullam to Ziklag. In Ziklag, now people come in and they ordered and they disciplined and they families and the heads of the households come in and they go, as for me and my household, these are my family. Everybody's in rank. Everybody's in order. You don't have to fix it. They're not doubters and deserters and diseased and debting and, you know, they're the people who are in rank and order. And you go, I didn't quite know how to receive people in rank. It's a very different mode. And you have gone into a mode of Ziklag. You know what happens at Ziklag? The next thing from Ziklag is the kingdom. God's about to step up the kingdom in the church. But the real issue at Ziklag is finding out who's with us and who's not with us. And if you're with us, and it's putting people in place. I think there is a moment here in the next few months where God's going to bring some people and put some people into leadership. I wouldn't be surprised if there's quite a lot of new leaders in the church, and I think that's good. I think you should gear your minds for that action. I think you should also gear your minds for growth in the church, so that, you know, next year or whenever we come back, or you go, like, who are these new people in our church? Do you see all the, well, it's our church. It's not just your church. It's their church too. And so that, you know, when there's 500-600 new people, and you guys are going, praise God for these new people. But some of you are going to have to take up your role as pillars in the church if God's going to do what he wants to do. So I just didn't want you to miss the implication there. When the Lord says, you're about to break out, there's new growth, there's new stuff coming, many of you are going to have to take a new role. And some of you who formerly were sitting are now going to have to get off the cart and help pull. And so Michelle and I would just like to, if you wouldn't mind, pray for you and release just something of an apostolic blessing onto the house. So Father, in Jesus' name, we come and thank you for what you're doing at the Bridge. We receive, Lord, from your hand this word. Thank you, Lord, that it is time. It is, Lord, the last minutes of the 3 hours where it's time to break out. So Father, we break the shell in Jesus' name by faith. We thank you, Lord, that any restriction that used to be on anything, Lord, is now broken off the church. But now, Lord, we call in from the east, south, north, west. We say, come on, it's time to come home. We call in, Lord, growth, people, supernatural signs, miracles, healings, Lord. We release, Lord, a new deposit of miraculous in the church, a new supernatural, Lord, encounters of the power and the glory of God, where people shake for hours, Lord, under the glory of God, miracles, healings, and wonders. We release into the church, Lord. We call in, Lord, many hundreds of new salvations, Lord, new people. We thank you that you would add muscle and growth to the church. And Father, we release a new understanding of leadership team. We pray, Lord, for a unity and a clarity and a cohesion on this eldership, this diaconate, and this team together, Lord, that they would be, Lord, living a dream. And that, Lord, you would make their job a joy and not a burden. So, Father, favor this church. We bless it in Jesus' name. And all God's people said, amen, amen and amen. Thank